matter what people say, you got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS, this is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful week so far. I know every week I say that I'm going to change the tagline now that I'm on Sunday. So what I really meant to say was I hope you guys are getting ready for the weekend. No, not the weekend, the weekday. Either way, I'm sitting here laughing because I have my boy, Paul Bromley, who, if you guys have been paying attention to my shows, would know that he made an appearance, what, a couple of months ago?
Yeah, I think so.
So Paul Bromley, for those of you who are new to According to RP, is one of my very dear friends from my former place of employment, the DA's office. Paul, say hello.
Hello.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, because again, there are people out here who are just now tuning into this show, never heard of it According to RP before, and might wonder, who is this individual?
Sure. Hey, how's it going, everyone? My name is Paul Bromley. As Rita said, we are former colleagues. We've both worked at the Brooklyn DA's office as prosecutors. I am also a writer. I write political commentary. I've been featured in The Root, The Huffington Post, Vibe magazine. And I'm also a father of two. I have a boy and a girl. And I am happily married. And
I'm tired.
Happily married. Take a step back and make sure that's out there. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I'm black. I'm very black.
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't say yes like that, like...
Okay, no, I mean very black. So I'm saying yes as in very black as in like your culture.
Oh, I meant very black as in...
Your skin color?
I'm simple, like I'm crazy.
Oh, you're simple? Oh, yeah. You're crazy. Okay, yeah. See?
But that works too.
I was trying to like, you know, keep it, you know, nice.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you know, go ahead and say that you're a little ratchet, yeah, that's fine too.
I'm here to do your show.
Nothing else.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be back. I had a great time the last time that we were together. We talked about the Ava DuVernay movie,
yes,
When They See Us. You know, it was a very deep, serious conversation. You know, we talked about, like, you know, our past lives as prosecutors, mm-hmm, and things of the nature. But I'm happy to be back, and hopefully we can, you know, have a little lighter discussion this week.
It was pretty deep. I remember after getting off that call, I was like, man.
But it was necessary. It was really good. And it's necessary to have those conversations, you know, especially with the time that we're living in and, you know, both of us raising, you know, young black boys. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's very necessary to have the conversation. But I'm happy to be back, and looking forward to, you know, whatever. Rita Ratchetry.
I like that. Rita Ratchetry. That should be a segment.
See, look at that.
Look at me.
I'm earning my keep already.
Yes, you are. Rita keep. Ratchetry. Yeah. I like that.
So tonight is According to RP and PB.
Yes.
Right? That's
yes,
cool?
Okay. Yes, I like all right. that. All right. So I reached out to Paul after we did our last show, and I was like, Paul, how would you like to, I don't know, maybe be like a regular?
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm definitely with that.
Definitely. It's always hard to find, like, you know, good co-hosts sometimes. Yeah. But I'm definitely willing to share the mic.
Okay, sounds
with like-minded
good.
And
people. For the record, she has two mics in here, guys.
Yeah, there are two mics. Yeah. That's right. We're not sharing.
I don't want you to think that she's running like a little, you know,
this ain't
shabby.
A rinky dink.
Yeah, exactly.
This ain't a rinky dink operation.
This is for real. Yeah.
Exactly. So, Paul, you know, before we get into the meat of the show, which I don't even really know what the meat's going to be, because with you here, we could be talking about whatever.
Yeah, right.
We have certain preliminaries
okay.
that we like to go through.
All right.
And so this might be the second time ever I've actually gone through preliminaries with a guest before, so you should feel honored.
I
need to get the clapping machine so that we can have the clap, clap, clap for you. So each week I have an Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Okay.
So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
All right.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Popping on fleek, Gillette.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Dictionary has all, I mean, you're familiar with Urban Dictionary.
I said I was black.
Listen, that is, that's, I mean, that's question, I mean, listen.
Black. So yes,
okay, I so black, so you know Urban Dictionary.
I do, yes.
And so, you know, I'm always questioning the authenticity of the individuals who are submitting these terms.
You should be. Some of them. Yeah, there's probably like, a bunch of Teds, probably a bunch of Teds and mm-hmm. Beckys and
yes,
yeah.
Who
yeah.
think, you know, who think it's cute.
Right. Or Cory Booker. It could be Cory Booker.
It could be Cory Booker.
Yeah. It could be. Talking about dipping in the Kool-Aid and not knowing the flavor.
Not knowing the flavor. I'm so over him. So this one was submitted, and usually I actually don't even read who submitted it unless it's like really crazy. This one was submitted by Westside R. The S is a dollar sign.
White.
Sounds white to me. So this week's word is G-code.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The unwritten rules of the street. No snitching, no testifying, no cooperation with law enforcement, no letting anybody punk you, show respect to earn respect, no disrespecting of the game, no hating, mind your business, hold your own, accept the consequences of your crimes, remain loyal and true, money over bitches. Example.
I don't want an example. No.
You don't want an example?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
But
go ahead.
The people.
Yeah, go ahead. It's not about me.
An example, G-code is my religion. Mic drop.
Okay.
G-code is my religion.
Yeah. We didn't write that.
We didn't write. Have no, you ever in your life heard anybody say, use this phrase, G-code?
That's G-code. Now, I have heard the phrase G-code. I haven't heard it since 2001.
Did you what yeah. Did you hear G-code?
The first time that I heard G-code was in high school.
Okay.
And it was a juvenile song or hot boy song, I believe. It was called G-code. I'm almost certain it was called G-code. Yeah, definitely it was definitely called G-code. It was actually, you know, I'm Southern, you know what I mean? So like, you know,
that was your jam.
It was. Yeah. But you know, and I guess you know, and I'm pretty certain that the definition or what have you was similar to what that person, whoever gave the definition, said. But if Juvenile didn't write it, then me personally, I don't want to hear it.
I mean, Juvenile clearly didn't write that because this was very well written.
see, now we're gonna have the Southern Northern dispute too, because I'm not gonna let you do
all
Juvie
I'm
like
saying
that.
Is that if he's gonna keep up, he said snitching, snitching.
But that's then, right. There's no G on snitching.
But then the individual goes, no testifying. There's a G.
See? They code switching.
That's what I'm saying.
They G code switching. See?
No letting anybody punk you. Those are like complete full sentences.
Yeah. We didn't write that. Like I said, though, I've definitely heard the term before, but that's definitely somebody who is probably also listening. You know, a young man in the suburbs of Scarsdale or something like that, listening to the G code, and you know, decided to
and that's what happened
to bless the Urban Dictionary with his gentrified definition.
So if you're listening to us, West Side with the S as a dollar sign,
yeah, sit your ass down.
Don't submit anymore. Don't submit anymore to the Urban Dictionary.
Right. We're good on you.
All right.
Yeah.
So now the next segment, or the next section, is the Big Up of the Week.
Okay.
So it's now time for the Big Up of the Week.
Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up. All of the girl, them big up, big up. All of the woman, them big up, big up.
I'm picking up. I don't know. Have you heard of Pyre Moss, the Pyre Moss designer Kirby Jean Raymond?
No.
He is now. He earns the artistic directorship at Reebok. So he's like a big now at Reebok. So you know, it's another black brother. This one happens to be Haitian. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my Haitians out there.
Absolutely.
And so I feel like I like seeing these appointments in a sense, because it's just kind of like, okay, you know, the black people are making more strides, yeah. right? More, especially yeah. we're talking about Reebok, right? Yeah.
And we've been rocking Reebok. I mean, Reebok is an American, you know, like, you know, label. It's an iconic label. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, it's really good. I really enjoy also seeing like black people being appointed to these positions within like these major companies, because let's be honest, like, you know, our community, you know, we are one of the largest consumer groups, mm-hmm. you know, in this country, if not the world, you know.
Of labels, especially.
100%. You know, so it's good to see someone, you know, of, you know, from our community, you know, from our perspective, that will know what our community likes, what we like.
Exactly.
And it's interesting now, because like you see a lot of these 90s styles and a lot of these 90s brands coming back, like, mm-hmm. you know, for a budget fashionista.
Such as myself,
you know, I'm enjoying the champion comeback for yeah. me. I'm like, I'm a champion. Like, you couldn't wear champion.
Hell,
you would get
no,
clown.
You
would get clown. Champion was like $5, $10, and it's still relatively like cheap. But like, I've seen it in some places. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to like say Urban Outfitters or even like online or whatever. Like, you, some of it is like $85 for yep. like a champion hoodie. I'm like, that's not happening.
Are we able to go back to where, or ever, are we ever allowed to now wear U.S. Polo Association?
No. There has to be lines somewhere. You got to draw the line.
I remember my mother, who, you know, Haitians, a lot of times, oh, yeah. they just be shopping.
It's the same thing. It's a horse.
They just be shopping. Had the audacity to buy me a jacket with this U.S. Polo Association. I was like, I cannot leave.
You went into mourning. If I were, I'm sure you went through the stages of grief and everything. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Hell yeah.
Nah, you can't wear that.
No. So okay, so that hasn't come. So that hasn't come out.
I know. Fila's back.
I've seen several people and like the retro Filas too. Oh, like, not even a revamp Fila. Like,
no, the old chunky,
yep.
old school original Filas are back. Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah.
Also is making a huge
but
comeback.
I mean, I remember at one point the blacks were not supporting Tommy Hilfiger. They right. were calling him Tommy Killnigger. Are we supporting Tommy Hilfiger now?
I think that, because I remember that whole issue too. I think they said that he went on the Oprah Winfrey
yeah,
show or something.
Yeah, it was Oprah. He was associated. I don't know if Oprah ever confirmed or denied this. I don't know if I ever saw that episode. It's been debunked.
I think it was false.
Okay.
I don't think he actually said it, but I remember they went through like this whole revamp mm-hmm. where they weren't called Tommy Hilfiger anymore. They were just called Tommy.
Yeah.
And they did away with like the red and white bar. They were trying to like rebrand mm-hmm. themselves, and they were selling their clothes like really cheap. Like, it was always like 40% off. And now y'all boycott. I didn't boycott because like I said, budget. You know what I'm saying? But now that he's back, he's like, I think that by doing that, they were able to like kind of like rebuild mm-hmm. that brand up. So, I see a lot of us rocking the Tommy. I like
it. Yeah, there must have been a shift then.
Yeah.
There must have been a shift. Because I remember for the longest time, remember Call Kanai?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I remember Call Kanai.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, so that's my big up of the week. I like to, like, highlight
yeah.
people who are, you know, making strides in the yeah. community, especially when they're of Haitian descent. I always try to, you know, point them out.
But you know us, you know, as black people, like we don't even move the culture. We set the culture and then we move it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it just makes sense that, you know, you see, you know, guys like the man that you were just talking about with Reebok and Virgil Abloh with Louis mm-hmm. Vuitton and just, you know, even, you know, Rihanna's coming out with her own line.
Well, yeah,
she has a line, the Fenty
she
line.
Has the line, yeah. the Fenty.
Beyonce's involved with the Adidas and things mm-hmm. of that nature. Like, you know,
I like seeing
we move
that.
The culture. Yeah, absolutely.
But do you think that there's also like obviously some sort of like hidden agenda? You put a black face to it so that we can now like
probably
you know
yeah probably you know what I mean and because at the end of the day it's a company they have a you know a bottom line they're trying to make money
and they recognize that we are the highest consumer so
sure.
it's like if we add Beyonce to it now we definitely yeah. gonna get them.
Think about like you know I know that even for myself like as a man like going shopping so I know certainly that you've dealt with it as a woman like certain designers. You know, the black body type is different
mm-hmm.
from other people's body type. So it'll be hard to like buy jeans and
yeah.
like things of nature because they weren't cut necessarily.
They don't make apple bottom no more. Well, they do, I think, but they're
yeah,
not popping. And,
yeah, you got the boots. So I'm sure you still had the boots with the fur. I can see that. Oh, yeah. I remember Apple Bottom and Vocal.
Apple Bottom.
Yeah.
And then they had seven jeans
yeah.
that were really, you know,
yeah,
form-fitting.
Yeah. But it's good to have, like, you know, that diverse, so that I don't actually like the word diverse. It's good to have the black perspective.
Yes,
you
the know, black perspective.
You know, in these rooms and in these meetings and things of that nature, so, and these designs, you know, so that they can, you know, make things that they know will cater directly to our community. So
yes,
that's great. That's cool. Good job.
So
good
now, this we were talking about this offline. My womp womp of the week, you know. So the womp womp is basically when I, you know, it's like kind of like a donkey of the day, but it's like my donkey of the week. But since I'm not trying to, you know, get into it with Charlamagne tha God, I'm just gonna call
stick
it a womp womp.
Stick with womp womp.
Yeah, because I'm not trying to get that heat.
Yeah, no, you don't want that.
From
you don't
Charlamagne
want that.
No. And friends, because he, you know,
and
like,
friends, exactly. Because
you know, Beyonce has her beehive. Charlamagne, I don't know what his tribe is called, but there's definitely a tribe.
Yes, he does have a tribe. Yeah. I don't know what they're called either.
I don't know what they're called yet, or if they even have a name. If they formally unionized,
right?
I don't know, but I'm not trying to deal with it.
I'm certain that they're ashy.
Yeah.
But we can move on.
We can move on from Charlamagne to God. So this week's womp womp of the week goes to, what for me, it goes to the mother of the, I guess, victim of the dodgeball fiasco that took place in Michigan. So basically, long story short, or maybe not long story short, but part of the story is 10-year-old black kid in, I guess, in Wayne County, Michigan, or in Michigan, gets charged with aggravated assault. Why? Because during a dodgeball game that took place on an educational campus, a school, if you will, he threw the dodgeball that hit this, you know, white kid in the head. And so the mother of the white kid called the cops, or apparently filed a police report and pressed charges against the black kid. Now, what it seems from the news outlets, at least, the white kid had some precondition. He had some sort of like
Said he had like stem, some like a brainstem,
yeah,
traumatic
some brainstem
injury.
Issue or whatever the case is. And so I'm assuming that he just can't get hit in the head, or else he'll get concussions much quicker than anybody else would. And so that's what happened. He got hit in the face with the dodgeball. Apparently another parent, you know, reported to the news that he, this, you know, they observed the kid to have blue, you know, black and blue eyes, I think a blooded nose, and he suffered a concussion. So based on his injuries, the white mother of this white child pressed charges with the police department and the prosecutor's office of Wayne County. Thought that it was the right thing to do to bring charges of aggravated assault against a 10-year-old. Who was playing, because nobody's disputing that
a 10-year-old
black boy. Let's be clear. A 10-year-old black boy.
Right.
And so, you know, as of right now, according to the news outlets, the 10-year-old's charges has been dropped. They have dropped the charges of aggravated assault. However, the school, he'd already, in a sense, suffered consequences because the school had suspended him for a day. These charges came after the suspension. So he was suspended for a day. Then, I guess the mother, I don't know at what point she went in and made these, you know, I guess press charges after the one-day suspension the school imposed. And then he was arrested and processed in court.
At 10 years old.
At 10 years old.
For playing aggressive dodgeball.
For playing. And here's the thing. We don't even know how aggressive the dodgeball is. Because I haven't seen anything say aggressive.
Yeah.
But he was playing dodgeball.
Yeah. And this kid... like you said, he had the pre-existing condition. So what might be just normal playground play for any other child might have affected him a little deeper than it would have.
Exactly.
Well, did the school know that this kid had this condition? Because I'm confused as to why, if he had like this condition, which, and it's horrible that, you know, he sustained whatever injuries that he has. You know, definitely I wish him the best and, you know, hope for a healthy recovery and everything. But if the school was aware that this kid had this condition, shouldn't he have been on some sort of like modified education plan or something where he wouldn't be involved in instances where it could be quite possible that he could get like a brain injury, like, I don't know, dodgeball?
That's what I was thinking. And I've been trying to scour some of the reports that I've seen, but none of them that I've read, at least, have actually indicated that the school had prior knowledge of the incident, because all the comments that were made from the mother of the child and others were basically like, you know, if the kid has a pre-existing condition, then why is he playing dodgeball?
Yeah.
That's like the overarching question.
Right. Okay, so yeah, so mom is womp womp.
Then, yeah, okay. The white mom is womp womp, womp, womp. Because, and then the prosecutor's office is womp womp.
Oh, certainly.
Because
most
the assistant
certainly.
Prosecutor yeah. basically came out her face and was like, the mother had all rights to press charges against this 10-year-old child
yeah.
because the black kid threw the dodgeball at the white kid's head.
And this is the issue with, you know, that a lot of people, you know, around the country, especially in our community, have with prosecutors. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about this before, like yeah. overzealous prosecutors. You know, this is a child. And part of becoming a prosecutor and part of, you know, being a lawyer, especially being a prosecutor, your job and your role is not to obtain a conviction or to charge as many people as you can or to trump up charges or, mm-hmm. you know, things of that nature. Your job is to do thorough investigations and properly bring charges and properly seek justice for, you know, the people who are victims of crimes or alleged crimes, and also the people who are accused. They also have, you know, rights by this, you know, old raggedy piece of paper called, I don't know, the Constitution. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of something that you should kind of stick to as a lawyer. I don't know. What do I know? You know what I mean?
But I know, like, right? We just went to law school.
Yeah. You know, but it's like, you know, and you don't charge a child for engaging in normal child-like conduct on a school ground. And what's happening is, you know, I personally have issues. Like, I work, let me take a step back. I have issues with, you know, schools being treated like pipelines to prison or mm-hmm. like, you know, or being, you know, occupied by police officers. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that is the way, I don't think that things that happen at school, unless it's something that involves a weapon or someone is like seriously injured intentionally, you know, should there be any type of involvement of like law enforcement officers?
Yeah.
It just creates an environment for kids that make them feel. How are you learning in an environment where you are being treated pretty much like you're being guarded by wardens in a prison? You know,
exactly. So. And the mother of the, you know, accused,
yeah.
the 10-year-old accused black boy, basically made a really great statement in one of her, you know, statements to CBS, where she was just like, you know, she would have hoped that this issue would have been resolved in the classroom, not a courtroom.
Well, yeah, Mom.
And as a result of all of this crap, like, she now, the mother of the accused, like, they've, you know, accrued legal fees. So she has a GoFundMe now on Facebook to, you know, ask the community to, like, you know, donate so that they can deal with it. Because, I mean, to get the case dismissed.
Yeah.
They had to hire lawyers. Absolutely. They had to do all this extra stuff. So they
make sure it got pressed, because if this case hadn't gotten pressed, they probably wouldn't have dismissed the charges.
Of course not. Of course not. Because the prosecutor in, you know, the CBS news.com mm-hmm. article basically was like, the white mother had, you know, all rights to press charges. And then there were many that were basically highlighting the obvious, that this is a racial issue. That obviously if it was a little white boy, if it was Timmy, that, you know, was the one who hit the black kid in the face with the dodgeball, this would never even be like top news. This would
absolutely not
be not. Trending.
They probably wouldn't even have told mom.
No, it would have. I mean, I'm thinking about when I used to play dodgeball and yeah. kickball. Do you know how many hits in the head that I got as a result of the game?
Like, yeah, so that's kickball. Why that's why you're crazy now. But
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
It's all coming out. But no, you're absolutely right. Like, you know. And I'm surprised that they even play like games like dodgeball in schools now. You know,
yeah,
I would think that
everything is like computer. Like,
yeah, you know. I would think that, you know, not even that, but like, I would think that schools have seem to have gotten so conservative and so
that,
like,
is true.
You know, I don't have a problem playing dodgeball. I don't have a problem. You know, it's a schoolyard game. You know, but I'm just surprised that they even still play that. But like, you know, even going back to the mom, you know, your son is 10 years old. You know, you call the cops on this little 10-year-old black kid, you know, who's this exact same age as your son, who, and you obviously view your child as mm-hmm. a child, but you view this kid as like a menace. And that, you know, and we talked about this before too, like on the last episode, it's like, you know, our boys just don't get a chance to be little boys.
Nor
our girls, you know, but in this particular instance, we're talking about a boy, but like, you know, they just automatically looked at, like, you know, as criminals or as deviants or as threats, you know, the older they get. And I guess now 10 is the new magic age.
No, 10 is the magic age, because I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I'm just trying to fathom, like, me, even in 2019, calling the cops because my son's like, yo, mom, a kid hit me
in dodgeball.
In dodgeball.
Yeah.
It's not like he threw an orange at him, like, yeah, you know, like he
hit and me. I doubt it was the kids, you know.
No, of course.
But it was parents. The mom, and the mom, obviously, like, you know, your son has a condition. I certainly understand, you know, the level of hypersensitivity that she probably has, yeah, when dealing with the kid. But that doesn't mean that this kid was acting intentionally, maliciously, or criminally.
Yeah.
You know, in, you know, whatever injury that he may have caused your son to sustain. You need to think about it that way. Like, your son, like, honestly, your son should not have been playing.
Why was he playing dodgeball?
Yeah,
like, just, that's a game. Like, you, the aim of the sport or of, yeah, the game is to throw a ball and hit somebody with, yeah, it.
And as a parent, like, if you fail to tell the school about this pre-existing condition that this kid has, then you fail. Like, that's on you. And as a school, if the school did know, then they failed the child.
Yeah, because the kid should have been watching from the inside of the classroom.
Correct.
You should have been peeking out the window.
There should be, but in no scenario is this, should that 10-year-old child have, should have been charged criminally.
Yeah. Even this, no matter, juvenilely or whatever, yeah, it shouldn't have been charged, period. It should have been a conversation,
yeah,
in which the school should have been like, you know, I don't know, Heather, I'm going to need you to either homeschool your child, mm, or, I don't know, put us on note or something.
They should, at the very least, like, they needed to, the mother definitely needed to have put the school on notice. I mean, you know, obviously he has a right to go to that school, but the school, once the school is on notice of that, they then have a right to, you know, hold, like, I don't know if it would be, you know, if whatever his injury is involving the brain, so I'm assuming there may be a learning disability, something there too. So they then have a responsibility to hold an IEP meeting.
Yeah, something.
Putting together some sort of, like, you know, modified educational plan for him.
Yeah, or no, know, dodgeball.
Or
no dodgeball, because you don't want him to feel left out.
At the very least, you know, or something of that nature, but.
It's like a parent who has, yeah, a kid that they know now has a peanut allergy. They don't let the school know there's a peanut allergy.
Yep.
And so the school now can't put the kid on the peanut-free table.
Correct.
Like,
yeah, so that's not the school's fault if they don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah, if the kid unfortunately chokes and, you know, dies, heaven forbid, off of, like, I don't know, something that had some sort of connection
peanut
with
in
nuts.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
That's not the school's problem if the mother...
Yeah, if the school... if Yeah, if you did not put the school
or,
on notice.
Or it's like the black kid giving... the white kid a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and nobody knows that the kid is allergic, or the school knows but the school doesn't separate the two.
Right.
It's like, it just, right, doesn't make any sense to,
yeah,
me. So that's what the womp womp goes to the white lady. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of my womp womps over the course of the year that I've been doing this particular show has involved white women.
White women are very womp wompish.
Yes, yeah, they're very womp wompish. I would probably say maybe like a good 75%, if not more.
Definitely 53%. Definitely the 53% that voted for Donald Trump. So,
yeah,
at least more than half of them are extremely. And the other half is probably on the womp womp spectrum.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
They're on a spectrum.
Absolutely.
So, that's my womp womp of the week.
Sounds good to me.
And Maria Miller, who is the prosecuting attorney,
okay,
from Wayne County.
Okay.
I'm assuming she's another. Whoa. I mean, she's a white woman. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
She's, well, a white woman
womp
based
you, Maria,
on.
And womp your mama too.
And womp the mama, who did not want to give her name because she was afraid that people were going to come get her in these streets. Which, you know, she should be afraid. All right. So now that we've done with the preliminaries,
okay,
now you have your full taste of the preliminaries and how that goes through. So last week, I don't know if you caught the show because you were out here showing up and showing out in these streets.
Don't do me.
I was watching your social media, so
yeah.
I'm fully aware of what you were doing in the
okay
streets.
Okay. All right.
I was talking about... Actually, no, last week, the week before last week. Last week, we had a guest, a young woman who's a golfer.
Okay.
I have a golf event coming up this weekend,
that's
actually.
Right. Oh, is it this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Oh.
I know. You know, summertime is really hard because everybody...
I had every intention of going to that.
We can do another one.
Okay.
We can do... There's an indoor golfing center that we seem to have built or are building relations with. So maybe if we could do something in the fall, winter.
Okay.
We can... So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually supposed to be... my father-in-law, he's in Europe right now, but
oh,
when he comes back, we're supposed to be he's been on me about learning this game of golf.
Yeah,
he's been on me for years. So we're supposed to, like, I'm supposed to be learning that from him in the upcoming weekends anyway.
Okay.
So.
Well, how do you feel about it in general? I mean, some people are just like, yeah, I understand, like, there's reasons to play it, but this crap is boring.
I from watching it on television, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it is boring to me. Mm-hmm. But from what everyone that I talk to who plays the game just talks about how cathartic it is. And they talk about how it's like a thinking man's game. And it's also, you know, I'm willing to try anything. Try anything once. Right? Yeah, you know what I mean? Legal. But I'm not gonna lie, it does look boring as hell. But yeah. I know a lot of people say it's good for like networking and
networking aspect I hear. I mean, I am not, as I'm getting older, I'm regressing, I would say, as a human. Mm-hmm. My spatial, I don't know. I'm not as spatial as I was. Like, I have no type of like spatial awareness. Well, mm-hmm. let me not say no time. Let me not throw myself under the bus here. My spatial awareness is diminishing.
Okay.
And so I feel like, yeah, I can hit this. And it's like, I don't know how many yards that went. Like, what the hell?
Like, I'm the same way. I am like,
what's a yard? I don't know.
I'm looking forward to this game because I'm also athletically deficient. And from what I understand, our president plays golf all the time. So you must, you know, you must not have to be like, you know, too athletically inclined.
You must not have to be anything, really, if we're talking about him.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, no, I'm the exact same way. Like, I couldn't tell you, like, I couldn't tell you how far away anything is. And I think my eyes are going bad. I don't know. And we're young. You know what I mean?
We're young. But it's
the kids. Blame the kids.
I'm going to blame the kids. Yeah, I'm going to blame the kids. And I'm going to blame a whole bunch of other things, too. I remember
from watching all them damn cartoons. Making our eyes go. Yeah, that's cool.
I remember I was in a courtroom one time, and I was actually in the middle of a case. And they were like, I was like, yeah, the distance was from, you know, was whatever. They're like, I'm going to need you to point from this. I'm like, you know what? Let me do that. Because I don't know what 300 yards
is. I use markers. Like, if I'm in a room or something like that, like during a trial or during a hearing or whatever, I'll say, you know, was the distance from this table to that table. Because I am the absolute worst.
Yeah. So, not my thing at all. But yeah, so that's the golfing thing.
I thought I broke something in this damn studio.
We gonna run up out of here.
Yeah,
real quick.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't see any cameras.
Okay, here, so all right.
We're good.
Can I compose you back? Here we go.
But yeah, so not last week's episode, but the week before, I did a solo episode where I was talking about, you know, Hot Girl Summer. Everybody's talking about Hot Girl Summer, and you know, the city girls, that's what's really driving the boat. You see what I did there? Driving the boat. Mm-hmm. That was actually a Urban Dictionary word 2 weeks ago, driving the boat. Do you know what that means?
I've never heard of that term in my life.
So basically, driving the boat is where, like, you take it to the head. Like, you take the drink to the head. I'm like, but why would you call it drive the boat? What happened to take to the head? Like, that was sufficient. If somebody said take it to the head, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Old asses.
Drive the boat. I'm like, what does that mean? So apparently that's what that means.
All right.
But so we're talking about, you know, city girls, hot girl summer. Everybody, it's funny because you remember Marley. Like,
yes.
She was like, What is this hot? I'm now catching up.
When you're married, kids too.
When you're married and kids, you don't know about a hot girl summer. No. See, I have a son, but I'm single, so you know, I'm trying to do
your
what
son
I
is
do.
Older too. So
exactly,
I can still be a little hot.
I can be a little
lukewarm.
A little lukewarm.
Yeah,
can be a little lukewarm. So I was just talking about, you know, I had seen one of Young Miami's little posts about, you know, what does hot girl summer mean? Mm. Like, what's expected? Like, how do you have a hot girl summer? Mm. And I just went, you know, started thinking about myself where I'm like, you know, I'm older. I'm, you know, I'm also professional. I want to maintain my professionalism because in these streets, it's small. You know, you think you're hot girl summering with somebody. Next thing you know, he's your colleague. Next thing, you know what I'm saying?
It's a hot girl lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not about hot girl lifestyle. So hot girl summer could quickly become hot girl lifestyle.
Right, so I'm like,
how do the more reserved women who are still trying to be out here, you know, not be out here? Because according to Young Miami, you know, you need to get yourself a rich ass scamming ass nigger. Because the rich ass scamming ass nigger is the one who's going to buy you and your friends, not just the drinks, but the bottles.
Right.
He's going to take care of everybody.
Right.
But if you just deal with, like, you know, a regular, like, fuck boy or whatever, he's going to buy you a drink at the bar. That one drink, not you and your friend, just you the one drink, and then try to capitalize on you the whole.
Well, first of all, we can say nigga and fuck boy.
We yes.
Oh,
some episodes, well, you know, we can go ahead and go. You know, it doesn't happen every episode.
That changed the mood in the room. Here we go. Continue.
Yeah.
I'm ready now. I'm on. Yeah. Let's go.
So my thing is, you know, for me, I personally, and I talked about on that episode that I'm not really interested in finding, you know, getting, I would love to get flued out.
Yeah.
But I would like to get flued out, you know, in a sense, kind of the right way, if that makes sense, because I'm not trying to be the subject of search warrants.
Yes.
And, you know, and other criminal, you know, investigations.
Flew that with the cocaine traffic in your drawers. Yeah, you don't want that.
Because he's a rich ass scamming ass.
Right.
Nigga, I'm like, I'm not trying to do that.
Right.
So it's like, how do we still partake and still, you know, enjoying on the fun without, and still in a sense, try to get flued out without being flued out by somebody who's probably under, you know, that they've been watching for 2 years now.
Well, first of all, Rita, I just want to say that I'm glad to hear that you have your priorities together.
Thank you. Thank
very,
you.
Very, you know, being flued out should be at the top of the priority list for every woman, especially every black woman.
It's not a bucket. It's a bucket list.
It should be. It should be at the top of your bucket list. So two things. One, yes, Young Miami and, you know, the City Girls, you know, I know they partake in the Hot Girl Summer. However, if I dig into my ratchet ass repertoire in my bag, I would be remiss if I did not advise you that Young Miami and the City Girls are no longer the reigning queens of hot girlness.
Whoa, what happened?
It's Megan the Stallion.
Yes, Megan the Stallion.
Megan the Stallion is the reigning Cersei.
Oh, wow.
Ass shaking. It is Megan.
I did see her recent video on the Shade Room. She got knees. Her knees.
Her knees are prime. But you know what though? All jokes aside, like, she's really, really smart. Like, I believe she's in college. I think she goes to HBCU. I think she goes to Texas Southern. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty certain that she goes to HBCU. And she also has like these initiatives where like she's trying to get like her hot girls, you know, to do things like for their communities, like cleaning up like beaches and cleaning up the shorelines. Like, she's really big on like climate change. She uses her platform to talk about those things. So, you know, in the midst, and that, I think that's the key to being a hot girl. It's like, you can be, you know, out here, like, you can enjoy yourself. You can, you know, have strong knees. You can do whatever that you need to do, but, you know, also have some substance, you know, and use that platform or whatever to try to do something, you know. I think the definition for me of a hot girl is not even necessarily, you know, how you dress or, you know, how
get it with a rich ass scamming ass. I love saying that phrase.
Listen, I'll put it like this. Get you a rich ass nigga. I don't necessarily know if you need to get a scheming ass nigga.
You don't have to be scheming.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But shit, a rich, get you one. You know what I mean? Like,
but we're gonna,
y'all
we're gonna
go through enough.
More.
Y'all and as a man, I can say y'all go through enough shit with the broke niggas.
Hello?
Get you a rich nigga. At least you can put up with, you know what I'm saying? At least if he put you through some bullshit, at least you can, you know,
come up with a couple bags.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know? Or at least, like, you know, have a nice, you know, condo, a nice loft.
That's what I'm saying.
To parlay in while you, you know, listen to him go through his bullshit, or while you text another rich scheming ass nigga.
See what I'm saying?
We here.
I feel you.
I got plans.
Make sure I'm including these plans. It's hard for me on my own because, you know, I'm going to work. I'm taking care of a kid. I got all these extra things. I don't have much extra time to be looking or being positioning myself in locations where I'm going to find a rich ass nigga.
Young Miami is, I wouldn't listen to anything that she said because she's off kilter. But
yeah.
But like I was saying with Megan, I think that her definition of the hot girl summer, you know, is basically just about, you know, just being a woman that's about your stuff. Like, not necessarily, you know, depending on a man to get what you want. But, you know, men, I think her thing, whole thing is like, you know, be out here and embrace your sexuality, embrace your hot girlness. Don't let no nigga define whether or not you're hot or not. If you look at yourself and you think you hot, then you hot. Be out here and be hot.
But she got them knees, though. My mother destroyed my knees when I was a young girl from all these, you know, the Haitians have this thing where they love punishing their children by making them, you know, go on their knees with their back straight. And so years of having to do what they call agenou, is where you literally are on your knees and you're like this. Sometimes, you know, they put salt on the floor. Sometimes you're on cheese graters.
What? Cheese graters?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Y'all had
techniques. See, I'm black American. Yeah. My mama, she just beat my ass with whatever was
They were very creative. Very creative. And so my knees, as a result of childhood trauma, are not strong enough to do what Megan is doing in these.
You don't have to do what Megan does. There's plenty of ways to be a hot girl without, you know what I'm saying.
You can get
a knee brace. What are those things? Those copper. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you got those copper like knee braces or whatever. You can get one of those if you are so inclined. If you're really focusing your definition of being a hot girl on your upper knee strength.
Yeah.
But there's other ways to be a hot girl. You know, you out here, you know, look at you. You got this show running. You a hot girl right
here. I feel like I'm a hot girl. Yeah. I mean, I went to the beach a couple weeks ago with my friend and I brought my bedazzled flask with me.
Absolutely.
And I was just enjoying. I didn't need to have a company of a man. I was just out there having fun, like with my friends in the streets.
But I think that's what the definition of hot girl is. Mm-hmm. Do these niggas like these niggas do you. And, you know, just be out here with your girls. Be out here with your girls. You know what I'm saying?
Acting up.
Yeah, just act up. And don't take these niggas too seriously, you know. That's what I would advise, you know, you to do. Don't take these niggas too seriously.
I mean, no, I try not to. I've learned a little while ago that you can't do that.
You can't. And there will be a nigga one day that will take you seriously. Not you per se. I'm talking about women in general. You know what I mean? But like, don't be out here, make these niggas work for it. You know what I'm saying? I definitely had to learn that the hard way. You know, I'm married now, but I
happily.
Happily married now. But I haven't always been. I've had my ain't shitness times too. You know, you gotta learn the hard way. Like, you know, you gotta, there's certain things, certain ways you gotta, you know, respect and treat women. If you're not just entitled to certain things because you're a man, you know, you have to earn them.
And I didn't know Paul when he was out in these streets acting up. But I know him now as a man of valor, a man of God. And
look, God looking at you right now like
I don't know about you.
He getting there. He's
on his way. He's working.
Yeah, I'm working in progress.
Work in progress. Yeah. But you're doing good.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I always wanted to hear like the man's perspective on this hot girl summer thing because I feel like it's all over the place.
It is, and it's funny because that is this whole competition of like, you know, this hot boy summer.
I hear there's a hot, but I'm like summer. Hot boy summer, city boys. I heard the city boys. Wow, well, like,
yeah, I have no idea, but I it's like as men, like we act up all the time. You know what I'm saying? Every summer is a hot. We have a hot boy winter, hot boy fall. We act up all the time. Hot boy income tax season.
Hello?
You know what I mean? Hello? Like, we act up all the time. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, let the women have... I think y'all deserve to have some fun. It's the year of the woman on top of it all.
That's happening here. It's a good year.
Embrace
we are in these streets. You know what I'm saying? I just think that for me, I think what my caution was is like, yeah, be out here in these streets, but remember you're still professional. You're not trying to be called as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that.
And that's why I said, the first thing I said was don't be caught up like, you're talking about a scheming ass nigga. Like, no.
You know what I'm saying?
A rich nigga, fine. A scheming, you don't mess with that because like you said, you don't want to be, indicted.
Hello?
Also be safe
up in the street sweep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the street sweeps.
Yeah, be safe because you also don't want to, you know, be in the hot girl maternity ward. You know what I'm saying? Or at the hot girl clinic, getting them hot girl antibiotics. You don't want that.
Literally,
you know
what I mean? Yeah. Literally hot girl,
hot girl burning girl biotics. You know, and burning boys too. Like you don't want that. So you know, just always be. You know, that's my whole thing, especially when it comes to like things like sexuality and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta be careful.
Just be safe.
And
be
I talked
careful.
About
yeah.
that too. I was like, I mean, listen, I don't understand how people are talking about yo. I mean, you know, whatever things happen, but you can't go out here talking about I'm gonna be on my hot girl stuff, and then you just you know knucking and bucking all over the streets.
Yeah.
With all sorts of people.
Right.
And I didn't mention this on the last show, but I was also, I failed to mention this part, but also like, you don't want to be a hot girl summer, literally like throwing bowls in the streets with the wives and the fiancés and the girlfriends of these niggas that you're dealing with.
Correct.
Because social media has made it very easy for people to
roll up on like, people. Or to portray like they're single.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you caught up out here.
Caught up. Yeah. Straight caught up. And then
catching a hot girl concussion.
Hello?
Getting fucked up. Right.
For real. Oh my gosh. But yeah, no, well, I'm glad that I did get a little bit of a blessing to be out here in these streets.
Yeah.
As long as we, you know, follow.
What's your summer like, Rita? What are you doing this summer?
You know, to be very honest, so my summer used to be called the summer of Tata. Because my nickname is Tata.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah.
That's
why,
that was my hashtag summer of Tata, you know, from before. And the crazy part is my summers of Tatas were not even like crazy. It was just like, that was the time where I met the, you know, men. Like I didn't necessarily deal with them, but that's when I was out, you know, law school, in college.
Yeah.
You're out. Like that's when you're able to breathe and you met people.
Right.
So that's when I would always, you know, accumulate all my crazy stories of, like, you know, the weird ass dudes that I would
be messing with. Yeah.
But however, I would say in the last couple of summers, like last summer was, there was no real hot, you know, summer of Tata. Like, I was, you know, I went out like a couple times with my girlfriends. We went to like maybe some festivals or whatever. But my summers have really become more so low key. Like this summer, I haven't went out with not a man at all. I haven't went out with not one guy. I haven't had any, like, any even type of texting situation with anybody. But I have, you know, I've been trying to go to the beach a little more, trying to hang out. But, you know, I got a new job. So it's like things are a little bit like,
yeah, a little hectic right now. Yeah,
yeah, and I got the radio show. I got the podcast. Like, I'm really trying to focus on me.
And this is what I was trying to say. This is the hot girl. That's the hot girl aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the hot girl is, I'm busy. That's a hot girl summer.
That's
being
me.
Busy.
I need to be booked and busy, though. Yeah, I'm busy.
Think about all these women out here that ain't busy.
That is true.
That are still hot, but they ain't busy.
They hot, but not busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I need to be booked and busy.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, but
you booking yourself.
I'm booking myself. That's right.
You booking other people.
I'm booking other people.
Look at that.
That's right. You see?
You gotta look at it that way.
I know I had you around for a reason.
That's right. Change that perspective.
That's right. It's always good to see a different point of view. Now I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
now.
You hot. You doing the hot. Yeah, the hot.
Thank
girl.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm hot. I mean, it's hot in here.
It is hot in here.
Oh man. So is there anything that you want to like, I guess we might as well probably like at some point shut this down. Like, what else to talk about? Is there anything that, I mean, your summer, like, how's it going? Like, I mean, I know you just came off of a tour.
Oh man.
But yeah. How's the writing going? Like, what's happening? Like, where's your hot boy summer? What's going on?
My hot boy summer is has been. I was in New Orleans last week, so that was hot as hell boy summer. that was a hot ass summer. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. My wife and I, we made a conscious effort and a goal this summer to really get our kids out. You know, we wanted to like see some things. My son is 3 now. My daughter just turned 1 in May.
Aww.
And, you know, we really didn't have the time to like travel like that because they were so little and it's just very hectic. And we just, you know, kept putting some things up. We said that this time we're going to make conscious efforts to get out of the house and to get our kids out. So, you know, we went to, we went to New Orleans for, it was actually my wife's family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
We went down there. We stayed a couple of days and I love that city. And, you know, I, you know, part of my social media journey has also been my journey for health. You know, so over the last year or so, I lost about like 75 pounds like over the last year, but I'm certain I put on all 75 of those pounds back. And with the beignets and the gumbos and the po' boys and everything. But like, I had never been to New Orleans and I it's just a beautiful city. It's, you know, rich history and, you know, and then also being around my wife's family, you know, and it's like I said, it was a reunion. So there was a lot of, you know, talk of history there, her family history and things of that nature. And it was just good reset, good recharge.
Okay.
We also went to Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago, took the kids to this crayon factory. It was the Crayola factory or whatever. Yeah. They had a great time, but both of my kids, and I'm certainly including the 1-year-old in this, are crazy as hell.
I mean, look at their daddy.
Well, touche. You know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, so that's where my, you know, my hot boy summer has been. And hopefully we're going to try to get away, you know, just me and her, you know what I mean? And, you know, have a hot couple summer.
That'd
be nice. Yeah. we're in need of that. But, you know, hopefully no more hot babies.
Yo, listen, I mean, you got a boy and a girl. Shut that kitchen down.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done.
Shut that kitchen down.
But my summer's been going. It's been going pretty good. A lot of good music. I've been getting into Afrobeats.
Afrobeats is good.
I love Afrobeats, and I didn't realize. You know, I heard a couple of songs like here and there, but I kind of really got into it. After did you hear the new the Lion King soundtrack? The Beyonce
song.
It's really, really good.
Okay.
And what Beyonce did was she brought in like a lot of like, you know, African, a lot of artists from the continent. And I was listening, I was like, whoa, how come I've not? And I've been to like Afrobeats parties and things, but never really got into it. And I was like, oh, these people are good. Like Burna Boy. And,
yeah, I was going to say if he was out, if he was part of it.
Yeah,
he's
like
the big thing now,
yes.
Burna Boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's another guy, I can't think of his name, but YC, I think this guy's name is. I'm not sure, but like there's this. So many artists that I had never heard of, and they make really, really good music. Mm-hmm. So That's it. I've been, you know, good music, drinking some good liquor,
yes,
eating good food.
I feel you.
And, you know, now that I'm back from New Orleans, I have to get back in that good gym. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
that's been my summer. Just okay, just relaxing, trying to enrich myself, enrich my kids. And see, that's me being a hot boy. You know,
that is trying, me being,
being
a hot
good
boy.
Trying to be a good daddy. That's what happens.
Well, I'm sure your kids are gonna appreciate it.
Yeah,
when they
I hope
get
so.
Older.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Paul, it was amazing having you. I feel like this was probably one of like my most fun shows.
Yeah, I had a great, I always have a good time. This was fun though.
Yeah, we gotta definitely do it again. Yeah. I mean, there's so much, you know, there's so much material in these streets. Like, these celebrities give me so much material. These white women give me so much stuff to talk about.
White women always give you something
you
to talk
about.
You
know what I'm saying? So it's always good to, though, you know, I have my own, you know, you know, opinions on some of these things, and I feel like I express them as candidly as I can, but it's always good to have another perspective, whether they agree or not, but somebody else to kind of like also weigh in, so that people find that although, you know, my opinions are usually sound,
right,
that there are others out here in these streets that are in alignment.
This was fun. But next time, tell me up front that I can cuss.
Well, here's the thing. You know what it is? I don't always curse on the show myself.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like you have to.
Absolutely.
Some topics.
Like I said, that changed the game for me. I was like, oh, okay, let me get comfortable. We can
Some topics you have to. You know, I try to keep it clean because sometimes you never know who's going to
listen. Who's listening? Yeah, no,
but I feel like in this day and age, though, like, you know, I get on my kid because apparently I've never heard my kid curse in my life.
Oh, I've heard my kid. My kid's three, I've heard him curse.
However, the school had no, like, as like, no, your son is avid.
Oh.
He's an avid cursor. Like, he curses out teachers. Like, I didn't even know that. And I'm like, oh, it must be the music. So it's like, you know, people, like, the cursing is out there. I mean, on regular television now, they, you know, they use words.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try to, I don't really use it all the time, but I feel like when we're talking about the urban stuff,
you
have to, like,
it's good sometimes to, like, you know, because I'm sure you use this show also as like an outlet and it's cathartic.
It
and people enjoy listening to it for that same reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, let your hair down. And I wish y'all could see Rita's hair. It's flowing.
Listen.
So you should let it down.
The hair is on point. Listen.
It's flowing.
Shout out to the wig maker.
There you go.
Clidney, if you're listening.
Yeah. It is installed.
It is installed.
Properly.
Yes. Going week strong.
There you go.
No issues.
Yeah.
No
so issues. Let that good hair. No, not good hair.
Not good hair. Let the hair. The hair.
Yeah, let it flow. Yeah.
I don't want. You know. Mm-mm. I don't know what the symbol for that would be, but I don't need any bees or whatever under my status.
Let me be clear. I did not mean it that way.
That's not what he meant. He is married to a black woman.
Very black.
Yes. Very black woman. All right, Paul. So thank you so much for joining me on the According to RP show.
Absolutely.
This was great. We're definitely going to, if you guys enjoyed Paul's commentary on this show, I'm going to ask that you send me a DM, I don't know, comment under the status. Let me know if you would like to have Paul on the show.
And if you don't, often. And if you don't want me back, DM me. Let me know. I can deal with it.
He's ready for what you got to say. And Paul, what is your contact information?
Oh, yes. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Who Is P. Brom. It's WHOISPBROM. You can also find me on Medium.com. I have a blog there. My name, again, is Paul A. is my middle initial. Bromley, BROMLEY. And you know, like I said before, I've been published, with, Very Smart Brothers, The Root, Huffington Post, Vibe. Just Google it, Google me. You can find it and share it, read it. And, you know, hopefully I've, made some new converts, some new believers in the brand.
Yeah. And you know, and so, while we have Paul here, like, so when he writes his book, and makes mad money off of it, I mean, we've been talking about you writing the book for like years now, right?
Yeah.
So when Paul writes his book, we're saying it first here on According to RP, I'm going to get 20% of the proceeds. Let's clap it up.
We're going to clap it up.
Let's clap it up. 20% of the proceeds I will be receiving. You heard it first here.
Yes, I did.
According to RP.
I heard it first. I got you.
All right, everybody. Man. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. Have a great week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's
all on